Good. How are you all doing? Welcome to you all this morning and those at home. We welcome you as well. And you have no idea how excited I am to preach today. Everything that we've been preparing for seemed to just coming in, the worship songs that we've been singing, the prophetic words that have come this morning. And so just to help us a little bit, we're starting a new series this morning, but I want us to just look at something. As you know, we are an apostolic prophetic people who want to hear from God, who want to be Spirit-led and go where God is taking us and not where we have great ideas. Because I can tell you on our pastoral team, we have people there who have ideas at one a minute. And we could be, if we liked, we could go in several different directions. But we want to be going where God is taking us. So this morning, I just want us to have a look a little bit at some prayer and prophecy and an introduction this morning of what has been taking place. Now, we all know COVID has been a bit of a distraction for some people. We've been distracted by things in our lives. We've been distracted by what has been going on around us. Some people have even been what I know this is going to be all the D's, all the devil D's. Some of us have been devoured with fear in our time. They're just consumed by what's going on around us. And others have felt distraught. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to carry on with my job. I don't know what's happening with school. I mean, for those, the teachers amongst us, I mean, with all due respects, this is a nightmare for them. And, you know, again, we've never walked this way before. And we've been distressed. People have been distressed. And we've heard on the news, families have been devastated. The economy is devastated. People have lost jobs. Families are in-house fighting. COVID has revealed a whole bunch of stuff. And sometimes we've seen in the news that woman abuse and child abuse has skyrocketed because of this in homes that. And I just want to say to you this morning, if you can acknowledge some of this in your own life, I pray that the prophetic words of God I'm going to share with you this morning will encourage you as we listen. As we listen to the pings of the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? And the words that God speaks to us, seeking God for His direction. So if you remember, and I mentioned it a few times, it was prophesied in January this year that there would be undue tension and pressures brought to bear on us. And we were all like, what does that mean? There would be a remnant, if you remember the word came, survivors, those that are left over, and then COVID arrived. And our facility was closed. And we chose to stay connected through our prayer times. Remember we did Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, we were there, and those that connected with us and stayed connected with us, you'll know what I'm talking about, the remnant, the survivors that were there praying and God speaking to us. And He brought us words of restoration, preparation for recovery, to recalibrate and to reestablish. And so I just want to share some of the words this morning with you that came out of that. And I mean, again, Kevin and Louise, the words that they brought, the dimmer switch, I'm telling you, we got to contend. Kevin's word, contend. Don't just be comfortable. Well, I'm just comfortable. Stop being comfortable. I'm your pastor. I'm allowed to say this stuff and smile while I'm saying it because you know that I love you. And but we can't allow our inheritance to be taken from us. We got to contend for our inheritance. And if you feel the dimmer switch in your life has been turned down a little bit, your spiritual thing, your connection has been dimmed down, lift it up, get connected. Anyway, here we go. So, where's my food? So, one of the words that came was there were two trees standing, one was budding and one was not. Just please listen through the filter of what Holy Spirit is saying to us as a church and what is the circumstances around us. And there's the one tree, the trees represented two types of people. The ones that were embracing the season and challenging and contending for it and lifting the dimmer switch, that tree was budding. And the other one was not budding, and those that weren't. And the word that came was, don't get stuck between two seasons. Embrace the season we're in. I know it's ugly. I mean, again, I asked last week, who loves wearing a face mask? Yeah, no one. Exactly. But this is where we're at. Another word, the voice of the Lord is still loudest in the storm. Every COVID storm that comes at us, God's voice is still the loudest. His voice roars over all in this victory. We sang again that this morning. Love the choice of songs. We're all in the same storm, but not all in the same boat. This is the same storm as raging around us, but we live in different families and we have different situations and we have to contend for, again, different circumstances. We are God's bride and His army. Now is not a time to be hiding in the bunkers. I mean, what did you say this morning? Now is not a time to be disengaged. Now is the time to be contending and going for it. We're an army of worshippers waving a flag of worship. And that worship is just not singing songs. It's worship. It's a lifestyle. Then the next one that came was a picture of a main river with tributaries, where things in the tributaries seemed okay and calm and cool, and people have slipped off into the tributaries. And the word was, don't live in the tributaries. Get into the mainstream. Stay connected to the source. Stay connected to God, the Father. Stay connected. Don't get it, become adrift. And then another one was a picture of a train. And each station that we were on the train, because this train is still moving, we can't be waiting. The train is moving. But every station we stopped at was a COVID calamity. But it was also an chance that when we stopped and the doors opened, people would board and come abroad, and we would have the opportunities to embrace them and be hospitable to them and love on them and be kind to them. What seems little that we have, Jesus will turn into abundance. The remnant was little, but God will turn it into abundance. We need to learn to share the load and bear one another's burdens together. There's another word, was God had a catapult of drawing us from a launch of renewal and expansion. He's ready to launch us into renewal and expansion. And then the last one I took down, the Lord rejoices over the restoration of His people. These are all words that came through our prayer times together over the last couple of months since March. And we have to understand, from these natural disasters of the state of the economy, everything is great because the church and the bridge, in particular, our family here, the remnant is under God's provision and protection. Amen. And we want to step into that. And then last week, Carmichael stood up and he prophesied about the gates and the walls. So Ezra and Nehemiah, and it was time to build and expand. What he didn't know was that I've spent the last couple of months preparing to speak on Nehemiah and rebuilding. And so I was scared, I was getting so excited. And so we're starting a new series today called Arise and Build. Time to contend and switch up the dimmer switch. I trust when, as we preach this morning, you will recognize some parallels of where we are and would take place in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2 verse 18 says, "And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." I love this immediately. And Nehemiah comes in, he explains what's going on, and the Jews there around him, the remnant, the crew, the survivors that are left there are going, yeah, we're going to do this. There's no, well, what about this? What about that? How about this? They were together. And so just to help the left-brained people, because I could go on for a while before I get to the actual title today, but for the left-brained people, today we want to talk about next to him and next to him and next to him. And some background for this, and I will give some historical aspect to that to get the big picture. To understand the whole thing, you need to sort of read through Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. And so here we have this picture that took me hours to put together. It's called, the period we're in now historically is called the post-exilic period, which means after the exile. And we understand Jerusalem was destroyed, was taken into captivity. originally the North and Southern Kingdom split, and then they were defeated. And then after 70 years of captivity, as you can see, in 535 BC, Zerubbabel led the first wave of exiles, the remnant, and there were 50,000 of them. Now, not everybody went. Some of them chose to stay where they were, and in Babylon, and led them back to Jerusalem, the city of God, to rebuild the altar and the temple, piece by piece. And then in 458 BC, Ezra led the second wave of these remnant back, and he was known as Ezra the Reformer, to bring reformation and institute worship in the temple and to institute the law once again, because they all needed to learn once again how to serve God in a covenant, because they had been so drummed down for many years in Babylonian culture. And then eventually in 455 BC, Nehemiah leads the third group back, and they don't tell us how many there were there, of the remnant to Jerusalem to repair and build the broken down gates and the walls, to repair the city and the community. Nehemiah is a book about leadership. It's a book about vision. It's a book about perseverance. It's a book of being purposeful and focused. It's a book about teamwork. It's a book about prayer and rebuilding what was taken or what was lost. It's a book that restoring the community that have been torn apart by the war, injustice, by the enemy, and poverty, spiritual lethargy had taken place. And in our case, the ravages of COVID and what the COVID has done. And I trust you can see some of the parallels that I'm going to draw from and into the future, into the next couple of weeks. I pray this series will challenge each one of us. How will I build my life? Will I live for myself, treating my life as something I own, to be used for my purposes and what I want out of things, and how I want to get things done, and how, but about my comforts? Or will I see my life as something that God has given to me, something I get to steward, and meant to live for the purposes and the pleasures of God and for others? Because that's what we are called to. We have to understand that walls are built to protect people, to keep people in, and gates are there to let people in. To keep people out and to let people in. And I have a sense, and while I'm preparing, the Lord keeps throwing stuff at me, and so I've got a yes, Lord, no, Lord, we're not doing that. Build a prophetic picture of what has been and what is unfolding. Similar to the Jews that were returning bit by bit, Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and these different waves and different factions as they came out. And for me, when I say I draw a parallel, each week we see different people, different of our family join us, new people, visitors, welcome. And we have people coming in and joining us and being part of us as we, this remnant returning to arise and build together, to contend for our inheritance. We will concentrate in the weeks to come on the gates and the walls that need rebuilding and need repair, and we're going to look in depth and go through chapter 3 in quite in depth. But this is a revealing record of rebuilding of the natural walls and the gates of Jerusalem, but it is also a picture of the work that God is doing in the restoration of his church. Now, what I mean by that, I mean this restoration and rebuilding the church, and mean the wholeness and the health and the maturity of the people and the families that are here, that call Bridge the home, is not a church mission. It is a kingdom mission. And we have to remember that. We don't just build church, we build the kingdom. And our fifth E-Grace value is expanding the kingdom of God. And we want to be people who are willing to work and to build. And we will dig into how this manifests out in our lives, how the natural gates are built in the walls, and how that looks like in the spiritual realm. What each gate repaired represents, because every gate represents something different, and in the natural and in the spiritual. And so we want to have walls and gates, and we all have walls and gates in our lives. That, so we put them up, and we do build them to protect ourselves, and we don't want to let anyone. Well, there are gates that we need to also have to let others in, to let God come in and work in our lives and mature us and bring us into a deeper revelation of who He is. The interesting thing is when we arise and build and expand, we don't build alone. This is not about you building alone for yourself. It's a continuing expression in Nehemiah chapter 3, next to Him and next to Him and next to Him. And so we arise and we build, and we have to understand that arising and building together, contending for our inheritance, is a team sport. It is not a spectator sport. You cannot build and be a spectator. We have to all play to our strengths, helping to kick the ball downfield, as it were. That was just the introduction. Are you with me? I hope you're getting excited, because I know behind your masks you're scared to get excited. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews. Understand that Nehemiah lives in the citadel in Susa, which is 800 miles away from Jerusalem. Just useless piece of information for you. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Who knows, this is not great news. This is not wonderful news. It's not exciting. Everything is broken down and the people in trouble and they're in shame. And we have to understand that God was going to use Nehemiah. God wants to use every single one of us here to do something about the situation. But first, God did something in Nehemiah before He could do anything. Any great work that God wants to do, He's got to work internally within us. And that's why we need to get to a place where we also sit down and mourn and weep and cry about the situation that we are in. Have a heart attitude towards this. Not just, well, we'll just get on with it and we'll do whatever we want to do. But we have to understand that God wants to do a work in us so that we will do something about where we are. Over this time of series, we discussed it at the leaders' meeting. We're going to do a time of fasting and prayer. And so that we can also fast and pray for renewal and revival and rebuilding and contending for things, switching up the lights, getting our act together as it were. This is a time to renew, to rebuild and restore areas in our lives. Amen. Okay, there we go. Today is a word for you, a word that came to Nehemiah from one of his brothers called Hanani. I mean, if you read through chapter 3, and if you're going to have a baby, there's some amazing names there. And you can, if you don't know what to choose for your kids' names, there's some really critical names there for you. But today, I want to just say, today is a word for us, a word for you, to arise and build. If there are walls in your hearts, be saying, Lord, what is it that is in my heart that needs to be rebuilt? What gates need to be repaired? What pieces of the wall that are broken need to be repaired and come together? Have your defenses crumbled a little bit? You find you're hard-pressed. Does temptation get the better of you? Does your spiritual flame has dwindled? I mean, Louise's word was just so spot on with that. Do you find that the light is dimmed? We need to be like Nehemiah and the team that he built around him. They were willing to do something about the situation. They were willing to work. They became involved and did something. And I want to just encourage every single one of you, in some fashion or form or way, you are a leader. And you lead something. But leaders must prepare themselves for the task. We can't ignore it. There is no winning without warfare. There is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God says, let us arise and build, The enemy says, yeah, me too. But I'm going to oppose. I'm going to rise and oppose. And we'll see Zerubbabel went back and started to build the altar and the temple. And then he got opposition. He was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then he stopped building. And I think it was 16 years later. So these things happened over a period of like 100, 150 years. Didn't just overnight. The miracle, we're saying we need a miracle, we need a move. That once Nehemiah got the team, this is not in my notes now, once Nehemiah got the team going and got them together, it took them 52 days to complete the work. It took them years to get the altar and the temple right. And then when Ezra came, again, stood up and made them read from the scriptures and prepared them and reformed them. And we have to arise and build. So next, point number one, building next to him and next to him. God's plan is always to work in team. There's never a lone ranger out there. God's plan is always for team, next to him and next to him. And we will see in chapter 3 that all they did was next to him and next to him. And if you go and read it, you'll see it, and next to him and next to him. Leadership teams, marriage team, family team, workplace team, schools team, church team, leaders, elders, pastors/elders, same animal, deacons, saints, frontline, sparkle, elevate, ignition, beyond, hospitality, legends, bridge kids, connect groups, music, media, ushers, greeters. Did I miss anything? No. Okay, good. No one's going to be offended right now. Good. The question is, as we arise, are you willing to play on the team? Thank you. One person is, are you willing to play on team? Will you arise and build? Can you imagine what a football game would be like if the quarterback didn't arrive? What would it be like closer to home for us hockey freakouts that if the goalie didn't pitch for the game? You know, it would be like open season. Just get the puck down to the net and we're good. The issue is that, where's that picture of that truck for me, please? I hope you can see that clearly. I had to giggle at this one. Yeah. So the guy in the front is shouting and barking the orders. There's two guys at the back and one on the far side pushing with all their might. And of course, there's the genius. In the team. On the team. Like, wow. Which are you? Yeah, we don't get away lightly. Which one are you? Helping, which of the characters you? Will you play your part? Knowing that there is a specific part and gift set for you to do and to play. No one can play your part as well as you can play your part. Well, we can sort of like substitute and we can sort of do it. But in building the walls and repairing the gate, they were all assigned their part at the wall. Read it. Go and read through it. And they were fine that when they came, that they were building their parts. We build for the day of battle. So when the enemy comes, there won't be a gap in the wall. We don't want to build the wall and the gates 98%. We want to build them 100%. We don't want the 2% because the enemy that will arise and oppose will find the 2% weakness and he will come straight through into the city. I love the expression with Joshua and Jericho, and when it says there, now Jericho was tightly shut up. No one could get in, no one could go out. We as the pastors, as the elders, the leaders in this church, and you too, this is our church, not my church. Actually, in fact, if there's any my, it's Jesus. It's Jesus' church. We happen to just have the privilege to lead. We want to see the bridge tightly shut up, naturally and spiritually built and repaired and secure. We have many prophetic words of people coming in, and some people coming in as burnt stones, but retaining health, etc., etc. Anyway, point number two, and this is where we're really going to preach now. Nehemiah, you know the little meme, somebody thing, be like? So here was Nehemiah the builder, be like Nehemiah. So this morning we want to be Nehemiah's, build like Nehemiah. Number one, and when I say man, because he was a man, I actually mean men and women. So don't go, oh, you're only talking to the guys. That lets me off the hook. No. He was a man of responsibility. Nehemiah 1:11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear in your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now, I was cupbearer to the king. Now, we have to understand a cupbearer was a very significant member of the king's entourage. The reason he was the cupbearer wasn't just because he carried the cup and bore the cup or bared the cup. He was given the wine to give to the king, and then he would sip it and taste it to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And if he didn't die, then he gave it to the king. Isn't that a great job? But because of his regular contact with the king, he was also the king's advisor. So he had the king's ear. And he would also taste his food and make sure that the king wasn't going to get poisoned. He was a man of action. He was not a sideline critic. Well, the worship could have been louder, it could have been softer, this could have happened, that could have happened. I would encourage you, if you feel that way, come and do something about it. Amen? Thank you. Nehemiah does not pray, God make it all better, or God get someone else moving on this problem. Instead, his prayer is, God, use me to make it better. That should be our prayer. Lord, how can I team in? How can I get off that truck and help really genuinely push it, not just sit on it? And we have to understand that. He said, God, make me use it. Would you be bold enough? And I challenge you and those at home, would you be bold enough to have the courage to take some of the burden and say, Lord, here am I, use me? In a sense, we are all cupbearers of the king when we invite people. And I love that someone this morning said, come and see and taste that the Lord is good. I mean, I don't make this stuff up. It happens by his spirit. And so we want to see, we are living letters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true worth of a kingly testimony is us. The greatest miracle, you want miracle? The greatest miracle is someone's salvation. That is the greatest miracle ever. And so we come and we've been trusted with this gospel message. This message of in reconciliation has been entrusted to us as cupbearers before the king. In times of crisis, Jesus stepped down from heaven and came and bore the sins of the world upon his shoulders and took it all upon him and set us free from that. And Jesus stepped down from his glory and we have been entrusted. Will you play on team and stand in the gap for yourself and for others? Take responsibility for the walls that are broken down in your lives. And we're going to delve into it. Secondly, he was a man of prayer. Nehemiah 1:4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He could have said, well, I'm 800 miles away. Yeah, okay, they must just get on with it. The whole bunch of them have gone back there. No. But something in his heart was arrested. I trust the Lord will arrest something in your heart. And then we can go through and you can see it. I'm just going to go through this quickly, that what a man of prayer he was. Chapter 1, 5 to 11, he prayed for others. Chapter 2, 5, chapter 13, he prayed for favor from God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 and 9, he prayed with others. Corporate prayer, getting together for corporate prayer. It's not a modern day idea. It actually is a biblical foundation when we get together to pray. Chapter 6, he prays for strength for the work. Chapter 6, he prays for deliverance from his enemies. Chapter 2, 5 to 9, he was not afraid to ask big asks. He asked big asks of God. We need to ask big asks of God. He is our Father. He's kind and merciful and loves us. And we sometimes get so religious that we're afraid to actually even talk to him. And well, no, I shouldn't ask him for that. That's like too big. That means we think small. God thinks big. Whatever the situation, we can pray about it and God will hear. We come into agreement and bear each other's burdens together next to him and next to him and next to him. I know, social distancing and all that stuff. Shoulder to shoulder and shield to shield, the point I'm making. Thirdly, he was a man of vision and action. Now, I haven't put in all the pieces of the verses, but I just wanted to highlight for you to read in chapter 2. He said, so I went to Jerusalem, was there for 3 days. Then I rose in the night, and I and a few men with me. I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon and spring and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate to the king's pool. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the walls, etc., etc. And what he's saying to us, he was a man of action. He was a man of vision. And he said, I didn't just get there. Can you imagine? Here Nehemiah arrives and he's all full of passion, full of prayer. He's cried, he's wept, he's fasted, he's been given letters and release and finances from the king to go and do his bit. And he gets it, he sits for 3 days. It's like, I don't know what to do. No, he knew exactly what to do. But what he didn't want to do was just arrive there and rush in and give his hand to the enemies. He didn't start piling bricks. Okay, guys, just pile up bricks. Let's do this haphazardly. No, no, no. Because we'll see he was also a man of a plan. But before we get there, he says he went around and he was patient and waited. And so I want to make this point. Take time. Go away from today and take time to seek the Lord in areas of repair in your life. What switch has been dimmed in your life? Are you contending for the faith? I mean, I know people have chosen to stay at home, but are you, I know I'm asking this question, but if you're not listening, then you obviously don't know the question. But some people have just dialed out completely. Their dim switch is dimmed. We can't have inheritance and take it like that. He goes at night when no one else is around, not because he's trying to be sneaky, but because he wants to be wise. And he goes around the walls of the city, and I want to say to you, spend time with God and seek his face for you and your family and for the bridge. Lord, what are the areas that I need repairing? What is the thing in our family? What do we need repairing? What are the walls and gates that have done? And he takes note, exactly, I inspected this and I expected that and I went here and I went. He makes an honest survey of the facts of what was taking place. And I encourage you, be open and honest about yourself. Be honest and say, yeah, my spiritual dimmer switch is down. I'm not contending for the faith. I'm just doing something else. And we need to understand 4 principles in reconstructing and rebuilding or basic to building. Number one is concern. He was concerned. Are you concerned? Confession. Lord, forgive me. And whatever the situation, the Lord. Have a commitment and have the courage to say, this is the areas I want to repair. He knew God would give him a strategy in the build, the face of the enemy, yet stood firmly under God's protection and providence. Number 4, he had a plan. 2:17. Then I said to them, you see the troubles we are in? I love it how it's inclusive. It's not exclusive. Oh, I've just got here. You guys are the ones. You may mess this up. No, no, no. See the trouble we are in? It's an inclusive thing. It's a team thing. How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build. Let's build together the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. We may no longer be mocked. And as we understand, there have been Jews there for a whole bunch of years there. Some born there and now we're old men. And here he goes and, well, who's this new kid on the block? He just come here and now he's like shouting the odds. No, no, there was a realization that we're in troubles and the walls need to be rebuilt. Often we can't see the devastation in our own lives. We're apparent to what we see in others, but we seem blind to it. I made a note here, and some of you will get this, some maybe not. Pink Floyd writes a song that says, I've come be comfortably numb. I would suggest to us that some of us have become comfortably numb. It's just so more convenient just to roll out of bed in the morning and sit in my pajamas and sort of partake. Now, obviously, sorry guys, this appeals to you at home. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation, but I cannot stay silent either. You know, if you're just staying home because it's just, oh, no, it's kind of, it's easy. I like just sitting and drinking my coffee. You've missed the point of why we gather. You've missed the point of why the church is here. You've missed the point of why you are the church. If there are other health reasons and whatever, then praise God, stay at home until you are uncomfortably numb. And he says, come, let us build an invitation to be part of the great work. Number five, he developed teams with willing hands and hearts. Nehemiah 2:18, I told them of the hand, the word of the Lord came to me, and for the word the king had spoken, he said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Testimony is always a great encourager. They were immediately all in. Let's go and do this. Yes, let's go and do this. It is right. Nehemiah assigned different people to different tasks and different parts. Just so you know, he was very organized. 42 family groups that he arranged to do the building. In chapter 3, we see teamwork amongst the Jews, but we also see guys coming alongside them to help them. Men of Jericho, verse 2, that's all chapter 3. Men of Tekoa, verse 5. The men of Gibeon and Mizpah, verse 7. The residents of Zenoa, verse 13. Those are the district of Beth-Zur, verse 16. And the district of Calah, verse 17. So it wasn't just the Jews, but their partners, their friends came around them and said, we're going to help you do this work. Everybody has a place on the team to build. Well, I'm not a builder. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've said many times, if you want to see a mishap, stick electric tool in my hand and then run. But everybody has a place on team to build. All men, all women, various occupations and statuses in life. They joined the work. Not only the priests, meaning the leadership and the Levites and the temple servants, elders and no. Everybody has a place to build. Goldsmiths and perfume makers. What do they know about building and construction and working? No. They, goldsmiths and perfume makers, businessmen, merchants, businesswomen, merchants. Several of those holding the office of ruler in the cities, ruler of half regions, ruler of full regions. These were guys probably that we could say were like MPs and MPPs. Fathers and daughters and the keeper of the gates, teenagers and young adults, everyone all together, there was a place to build. We're nearly done. Number six, he was a man who triumphed over opposition. 2:19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us. Verse 20, then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. Don't you love it? In chapter 6, verse 3, it says, and I sent messages to them saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down? There will always be naysayers. There will always be the negative vibe, the negative opposition when the people of God will arise. They will ridicule and mockingly come, and it certainly will happen, and we need to be prepared for it. And when difficult situations arise, we seem unable to affect them, we just got to know that my God is in charge of this thing. My God has brought us to this place. Nehemiah took responsibility over the situation. He prayed, he had a plan and a strategy. And I want to encourage you, stay on the wall. Once we are committed, once we are moving forward, once we are going with a rise and build and developing and growing and expanding the kingdom of God, we will not come off the wall. Stay on the wall. People will want you to give up. Oh, this is too hard. We can't do this. I'm afraid. Fear still grips my heart. Me too. But we're going forward. Number seven, last one. He was a man who served God wholeheartedly. Nehemiah 5:16, I also persevered in the work on this wall, which means that he didn't just hang around and bark orders. He was there helping build as well. And we acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. No reward for it, just to build the wall and bring the city and the together. His actions spoke louder than words. When he said he was going to do something, he did it. We need to know that we are never alone in any situation. Doesn't matter how big or how small it may seem. Sometimes your situation might seem so tiny, but in actual fact, for someone else, it's a huge situation, and vice versa. And we got to go, there's no circumstance, there's no situation that is too small. As I've said before, when these kingdom builders decided to build, it took them 52 days to accomplish what had been ruined for years and years and years. When you resolve in your heart, it's time to rise and build. I believe that where we are right now, that God is going to, you know, like the men of Tekoa and the men of this place, the men of that place, God is going to continue to send. He has already sent us new families to us. People got saved. People are coming together, helping us to build and to work and to develop the kingdom. And I'm trusting others will come. They will come from around the country to join us, to work side by side. They will stand with us next to him and next to him. Some will be like the men that will join David. As I've always said, the D category people, the disenchanted, the disgruntled, the disenfranchised, the dis everything. Some of them will need some time to heal before they can build. And that's good and it's okay. And I'm speaking prophetically and spiritually in the natural for men and women and families. God will bring alongside us and add to us. Some might need some spiritual prayer as they stand with us to build. This series, just finally, we will mine the gems of the gates and the walls in the natural and in the spiritual. Stay connected next to him and next to him. I know it's been a very different kind of preach this morning, but I trust you are encouraged, that you are lifted, and it would behove me to say that you are challenged. There's no point in let's just sit here comfortably numb. Amen?